This is NPR's Morning Edition. I'm Lynn Neary. Meet 101-year-old Margaret Bird Rawson. She's an international expert on dyslexia, a neurological condition which makes it difficult to read. Rawson is famous for a study of dyslexics that lasted for 55 years, a study which found that with proper instruction, they can lead successful careers and fulfilling lives. As part of our series, 100 Years of Stories, producer Nina Ellis visited Margaret Rawson at her home in Frederick, Maryland. She talked with Rawson about her work and about her life at age 101.
It's easy to fixate on the physical shortcomings of 100-year-old people and not notice what their lives are about. I've made this mistake many times, and I regret it. Who knows what wisdom I may have overlooked? I think I do this because I'm usually moving too fast. But Margaret Rawson slowed me down and made me think. She lives in a farmhouse in Frederick, Maryland that's at least as old as she is, and it's loaded with technological aids.
I can't read with my own eyes anymore because my eyes are not good, but I have a computer reading machine which reads things to me. It doesn't read them very well, but it's better than no reading at all.
Meanwhile, the associated as the world's oldest person, press reported from...
She can't walk very well either, so she's installed a chair elevator to get her upstairs, and round-the-clock caregivers mean she's never alone. Her hearing is pretty bad, too, so she uses email instead of a telephone. Margaret Rawson's life is delicately balanced between the whims of her failing body and her desire to do more than just live at home. She works at home. But the first time we met, I didn't ask about her work for a long while because I was focused on her weaknesses and I was impatient. It took her 3.5 minutes to inch her walker 20 feet from the kitchen to the living room. When she got settled, I asked about her past. She described a happy childhood in Philadelphia, raised by Quaker grandparents who assumed she would go to college. When she did, she became a radical, liberal socialist.
I walked in parades, and I handed out leaflets and read the radical journals and cast my first vote for president for Eugene V. Debs when he was in prison for being a pacifist.
She studied social work at Swarthmore College, got married after graduation, and started a family. And then she joined with some other parents to start a progressive school in Rose Valley, Pennsylvania, where they could teach their children as they wanted. She was the librarian.
They had one boy who was a bright kid, but he just couldn't catch on to reading, and he was all over everywhere. Nowadays, they call him ADD.
But back then, in the 20s, very few people knew how to teach him. Margaret Rawson believed that every child deserved the chance to read, and she found the boy help. A doctor in New York named Samuel Orton had new theories about the boy's condition and a teaching method that made sense to her, so she learned everything she could about what is today known as dyslexia, and she made it her mission to spread the word that it can be helped. After 3 hours, when I finally got around to asking about her work and current breakthroughs in brain research, she became very weak.
You want to take a break?
I think it's time for me to stop.
Okay.
Because every once in a while I find I'm tired.
I went back 2 months later, but instead of picking up where we left off, I started asking again about her physical problems, intrigued by how she was able to overcome such obvious difficulties.
What's it like to adjust to moving more slowly?
You just move more slowly, that's all there is to it.
Do you get frustrated? Or do you get
very frustrated? I dream about walking just like everybody, and then I find I can't.
Do you dream about being younger?
Yes, quite often. You wanted to talk about my dyslexia work today.
When Margaret gently redirected my questions toward her work, it wasn't out of vanity. Her eyes light up at the chance to talk about ideas. She glows with an inner light, full of hope about the future, because, she says, the human brain is still evolving.
I think the brain will go on changing, but it'll still be the human brain.
But are you saying that the human brain is evolving to the point where human beings will be able to comprehend better?
Yes.
And see connections and derive meaning from things that maybe now we don't see?
We're not able to see. We're not able to comprehend. But the brain is a progressive animal. It takes in more and more of the world, more and more of the universe. The brain is the thinker. The mind can know everything. The mind of God that is within you can know things that you can't know with your brain now. There's a mathematical idea here that comes into the way you're thinking. You know the growth curve. You start knowing nothing, and you get to know more and more and more. And after a while, you know so much that you've come almost to a level, but you never quite get there. Some people think that when you get there, that's the end of you. It might be that people could get so nearly perfect that when they jumped over into real perfection, they couldn't stand it. That's one of the theories.
Are you pursuing some kind of perfection?
Oh, I guess we all are.
Yeah. What is yours?
Oh, I'm not. I haven't any definite goal in mind, but just to do it as well as I can, teach as well as I can, live as well as I can.
At 100 years old, does that mean that you've got a lot more experience living than the rest of us, and are you able to apply that experience on a daily basis to live better?
I suppose everybody does. The longer you stick around, the more experience you've had. Whether you're getting anywhere or not is for somebody else to decide. We think that the older people are wiser than we are, but we never know.
Margaret Bird Rawson is still learning and teaching, contemplating the knowable and the unknowable, and making plans to attend the convention of the International Dyslexia Association this fall at age 101. For NPR News, I'm Nina Ellis.
More information about the series 100 Years of Stories can be found on our website, npr.org.